direct from San Diego. It's blindbargains.com coverage of CSUN 2014. The biggest names,
provocative interviews,
and wall-to-wall exhibit hall coverage. Brought to you by the American Foundation for the Blind.
On the American Foundation for the Blind website, you'll find everything you need to know about blindness and visual impairment. Search our national job bank, discover the history of Helen Keller, read our blog on current issues, find professional resources, and even more. Our site is completely accessible. Check it out at www.afb.org.
Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
We're here at CSUN 2014 with Sina Baram. He is the president of Prime Access Consulting. And this year we are here again to talk about math, but this time in the context of MathPlayer and accessible math equations. Sina, welcome back to Blind Bargains.
Thanks for having me.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about accessible math equations?
Sure. So in mathematics, especially if you're blind and ever encountered math on the web, it's oftentimes an image and really inaccessible. Sometimes it's spelled out using those high Unicode characters that screen readers may or may not pick up. And even when it's somewhat accessible, maybe somebody's given a really good description, can't really treat it like math. You know, you can't convert it to Nemeth very easily to put on a Braille display. It's just not really easy to use. So what we thought of is there's two problems to solve in the math accessibility space. There's the creating of math, you know, the authoring of it, writing it down. And that's really important, but before you can even do that, you got to be able to read the stuff.
Sure.
You got to be able to just understand what's there. And so to that end, there's something called MathML. So you've probably heard of HTML.
You know,
it's the language we use on the web to make web pages, and there's things like XML for more extensible documents. Well, MathML is simply a markup language. That's what it stands for, math markup, MathML.
Yep.
And what it allows you to do is be very specific about what kind of math you're trying to convey. So you don't just say like x caret 3, you know, there's all of these tags that you can put around it. But when you do that, you have an exact definition of that. So what a lot of people do with that is they take that MathML, they put it on a website, and the math looks really pretty on the website. It looks exactly like it should, and it's very professional, and it's fantastic. But if you're blind, you can't access that.
Right, so visually speaking, there's plugins and things that'll make that dull,
right. Sing. And so what we're doing is we're saying, why don't we take that MathML, and why don't we, as a result, why don't we read it? And not only read it, I mean, that's one thing, but why can't we explore it and really get into it and interact with it, just like you can with words or characters or lines or sentences in a paragraph? Why is math this special thing? We can do so many things with text, with a screen reader, and we can use all of these complicated programs, but why is math this elusive target? And it's so important. We talked about it last year, you know,
right.
STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. It's the biggest indicator of, you know, success and everything. Let's get this thing solved. So what I'm here to talk about today is this project we've got going on now with ETS, the testing service folks, and Design Science, the folks who make MathPlayer and MathType, to make mathematics accessible to the blind.
So why don't you show us a little bit of how that might work?
So right now, WindowEyes is one of the partners on the grant. So they have support for this. And hopefully NVDA will be rolling out some support in the near future.
Okay.
We haven't gotten any confirmations, unfortunately, from Freedom Scientific. So I think that, you know, it's really important for all AT companies and for any company to hear from users, right? Because those are the customers, the folks that matter. So if you care about math accessibility and maybe after this demo think you'd love something like this in JAWS, I encourage you to contact Freedom Scientific about it. And the more the merrier. So I'm going to fire up WindowEyes here.
So this is available in the current
this is the WindowEyes I got. Yep, I just went nothing special.
Demonstration copy.
There we go. It's just a demonstration copy, as you can hear. And this MathPlayer plugin that I've got installed that's going to allow me to read some of these equations in Microsoft Word, we're going to soon make that publicly available because we're looking for beta testers.
For free?
Yeah, to just join the beta. So it's this complicated thing where it's MathPlayer Alpha, but the alpha is in beta, and don't ask.
Okay.
So that's what's going on. But I'll give out my contact information and
okay.
you know, encourage, especially math-minded users that are really interested in math accessibility, to please contact me, and I can put you in touch with the right folks.
Sure. So you have an equation
so
here?
So we have an equation here.
1j with the fraction with numerator cap x to the fourth power, and denominator y minus 3.
So
the fraction with numerator cap x to the fourth power, and denominator y minus 3.
All right, and so I had to read it twice. All right, now, here's the thing. Let's zoom in one time on that, because we don't only get alt text, you know.
I noticed that says it was a shape too.
Yeah, right. And so it's a shape because there are shapes in Microsoft Word, and this is just an object.
And the other picture. Okay.
And you have the picture of the mathematics on the screen.
Okay.
And if you turn off shape announcement, mm-hmm. It won't say shape, and it'll just change the math.
Plus, WindowEyes has the commands to let you kind of jump between objects and
exactly. So
equations.
You can navigate
would,
between
sure.
equations. That's sure. exactly right. Or between even sets of equations if somebody put multiple equations in one object.
Okay.
And so then I'm going to hit Control Shift A. Okay, we hear that sound. Let's zoom in one level.
Zoom in, enumerator, cap x to the fourth power.
Now, and you notice it said cap x. I had capitalized the x in this one.
Okay.
Just to show the difference between that and, for example,
the denominator y minus 3.
Y minus 3, which it doesn't say cap y because it's lowercase. So little things like that, it will say. We have to say cap x. You might be wondering, why didn't it say x in a higher pitch, right?
Right.
And the reason for that is that we don't always get pitch control the way we're communicating back and forth with the screen reader.
Yeah, you're not sure which voice you're going to have.
Right, and so we have to send word indications of certain things. But it's, you know, I mean, it's a small price to pay. But also, when you're talking about math, even like with a friend, a blind friend, a sighted colleague, you'll often say things like cap sigma or cap x. Like, that's actually how you would talk about those things. And so if you and I were talking, we would not go x plus 3 minus
right.
x. You know, we don't do that sort of thing. So it, in the context of math, it makes a little bit of sense.
And of course, like you said, in numerator, in denominator.
We can even zoom in one more.
Zoom in y.
So we can land on the y.
Minus 3.
You see? And so we're just zooming in. We're
okay.
going to lower and lower levels. But here's what happens. We can auto-zoom you out. So
minus y.
So here's y, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to hit left one more time. Here's what happens.
The numerator, cap x to the fourth power.
It read the whole numerator, right?
Okay.
It went to the left once. Right? And or previous, I should say. I shouldn't say left, because we're actually navigating two-dimensional mathematics right now. It's not just one-dimensional. It's not just character-based. And so it jumped up to the numerator, and it read the whole thing because it had zoomed out automatically for you. So if we want to zoom in and explore in the numerator, we can do that. Just let's zoom in.
Zoom in, and base, cap x.
Cap x.
And exponent 4.
And then in exponent 4, right? So you can immediately get sort of the sense.
Zoom in, zoom out, little tags. Can you control whether that is spoken or not?
You can. I don't know how user configurable it's going to be in the alpha, because those are in our speech rules.
Right.
But those speech rules are configurable.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that whether something's configurable kind of an easy way or going off and editing an esoteric file sort of way, that's going to be all sort of product development later on.
Right.
You know, we're trying to get
sure.
the core technology right now.
Absolutely.
But that is all configurable. And by the way, the reason that's all configurable is that there are two rules or two systems for speaking mathematics these days. There's a math speak and clear speak, and they're different ways of different approaches to speaking mathematics. Things like whether you say times or not, or whether you say enumerator or
which
sum.
One are we using right here?
So right now we're listening to math speak, but there is, or excuse me, right now we are listening to clear speak, but there is also math speak as well as a rule set that is part of this.
So they're both available.
Yeah, that is user configurable. That's in the control panel. There's an accessible control panel widget. I think it says Math Player 32-bit or Math Player 64-bit is the name of the link in control panel, depending on which one you got installed. You hit enter on that, and then you can go through those dialogues and configure the speech rules.
As far as the functions and types of equations that can be represented with MathML, is everything supported?
More math than I ever took, and than some of my friends who have PhDs in math probably ever took. I mean, it's MathML can pretty much represent a wide
variety. And it's all covered in MathLayer.
And yeah, I mean, we found some things here and there, right? So I had an equation the other day. It was like a vector equation, so it had R hat, and we were reading hat incorrectly, so we fixed that. So that's actually a really good time, I guess, to say that we're looking for folks to help test this, and you know, it's not available yet right now
mm-hmm.
in terms of beta, but it will be freely available for basically download and testing and also feedback. That's the other key part of this. So
let's talk a little bit about that. Yeah. You created some equations here for the podcast in Microsoft Word. Where else though might people find these equations if you're looking at partnering with Bookshare or other places?
Right. So that's the thing. So MathML is everywhere. I mean, in EPUB 3, for example, and other standards, MathML is the way you represent math, just like how HTML is the way you represent things like links and lists in those standards. So what's nice about that is that if we have a solution, which we, you know, I claim that this is a really good one for reading and exploring mathematics and for doing that with MathML, we can use a technology like this to make that math accessible and to interact with that content. The trick is going to be an engineering problem now. Okay, well, it works in Word. That's great. Okay, PowerPoint's coming up next. Maybe, you know, IE, Firefox, that kind of thing. All right, but now what about like in a Daisy player or in the cloud so that it can be a third-party service? These are questions that need to be sort of worked on over the next few months.
Multiple devices, multiple platforms.
Multiple platforms, exactly. But the nice thing is because this is all sort of abstracted away, you know, we know how to speak the math. We know how to explore the math. We keep the state of where you are in the equation. How far zoomed in are you? How far zoomed out are you? Because that's all there, and it's not tied to Word, it's not tied to IE or anything like that, it can go to all those other platforms very easily.
Right, but of course, the IE support I think would be especially important, right? Because, you know, all the websites that are
all the websites that might have MathML using for their math. And by the way, for example, you can use things like MathJax on the web, which is a JavaScript library. It takes the MathML code on a web page, and it makes the math look pretty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, if the screen reader vendors are willing to help out and play ball, which WindowEyes has said they're doing, and NVDA has made some really positive signals in that direction, then that would be fantastic because they could grab the MathML out of that, stuff it into this API, and all of a sudden you can make that math on the web page just natively accessible with the screen reader. You know, like just like forms mode, browse mode.
Right.
Just boom.
You're onto a table or whatever. It's like inside math or whatever.
Boom. You're right. Navigate it. Yeah. You're done with it. Hit escape, whatever. Get out.
Mm-hmm.
And so all but if you just read an inline, it'll read the whole equation and then go on, right?
Right.
So it's just a native solution.
Have you had any conversations with Bookshare or with other providers of accessible textbooks?
Yeah, I've had some preliminary talks with Benetech. Can't talk too much about it, but they've got some projects underway that are really promising for taking this to the next level because, you know, they have a lot of content, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Bookshare just has a great deal of content, and the Diagram Center, for example, is just really into content accessibility, math accessibility, diagram, and spatial data accessibility.
I guess the question for them is when books come from the publishers to them, you know, math books, are they coming using MathML?
Exactly. That is a fantastic question. I would imagine that the question is sometimes they are,
right,
and sometimes they're not, and maybe more often they're not, depending on format, but that's one of those things where as these standards, that's why EPUB 3 and things matter, then they will be more and more in the future because MathML is what folks have started to standardize on to represent the math in those books, in those pieces of content.
Sure. What about Braille support?
Braille support is something that we can support right now, but the screen reader has to cooperate, right? Because it's
right,
our conduit to the Braille display. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we can send Braille out. So we can translate this stuff into Braille, you know, into Nemeth, for example, and
right,
send it out. But the screen reader has to support giving us the ability, you know, giving a callback function, basically.
Sure.
Just saying, hey, look.
So the user wants to see this in Braille.
Yeah. The user wants to see, okay, here, push this into Braille, say. Push this into Braille display, that sort of thing.
Right. So far, none of the screen readers have done that yet.
Not yet. No. That's something that I'm hoping that WindowEyes is going to do, and NVDA obviously has pretty good Braille support, so, you know, that's going to be next on the horizon as well.
What else is he looking towards the future? Anything else exciting as far as future plans or things you're trying to incorporate?
Well, so you know how I talked about, you know, authoring versus reading the math?
Right.
So you can read this and you can do all sorts of things. I mean, you can place put place markers and breadcrumbs.
Place
right.
marker, what's that?
Yeah, like that. Like I just put a little place marker
mm-hmm.
right there in the equation. And then I can jump to that place marker.
Okay.
So if you're solving complicated equations, there's a whole list of features we haven't even talked about on this
right.
one. There's different cursors, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And just for exploring math in a fine-tuned way or not. But the other thing is, sometimes you have to make the math. You gotta create, you gotta
sure.
write the math. That wasn't part of this grant, but we wanted to have something in there, just so we could have just a little taste, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right now, if any of your listeners are familiar with LaTeX, then that is one way that you can author math in Word in an accessible way. So let me show that. Here's another equation, by the way.
1j x squared minus 4x plus 4. equals 0.
And so you can do like a full equation, right? Like a quadratic with an equal sign and navigate to either side. But here, I'm going to move past that. I'm going to write some LaTeX right now. I'm going to just, so let's make a fraction, for example.
So
first we put a dollar sign.
Dollar.
And then we go backslash frac. Open brace.
Left brace.
And let's just do something simple like x plus 3.
Plus 3.
Over
right brace, left brace.
How about y minus 2?
Dash 2.
Okay.
Right brace.
And then let's put a dollar sign to close everything out.
Dollar.
And then
it's a little geeky.
It's a little geeky,
you know,
right?
For a programmer type, they could do this.
It's fine. This is how I write my papers. This is not what you would expect a regular user to do. But at least this is there. Now we got to make this 10 times easier to use. Well, that's fine. That's an engineering problem.
Sure.
Let's make that happen.
Backslash.
I hit alt backslash. And, you know, we get an error message.
Well, there's your typical programmer.
It's a live demo.
Yep.
But, and I'm not going to even try to fix that on air. But basically, what you would have gotten, and this did luckily demo here at CSUN about 4 or 5 times live, so that was good. You would have gotten, you know, that equation, you know, the fraction with numerator.
Right, so the trick is to figure out, you know, when you have like a sixth grader who needs to represent their first equation.
Yeah, a sixth grader is not going to be writing in LaTeX, right?
No,
and so
most of them.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah. So that's where you're going to want something easier with keystrokes and keyboard commands. And there are some projects that are being worked on that is that's working on that as well. And hopefully, if we continue on this grant or on future, you know, revisions of this grant, we can start working on authoring as well, because it's something I'm really passionate about.
Would there be the possibility, too, of perhaps you type in a name for somewhere or some other code? And
yeah, so you mean Braille input, right?
Yeah.
So you do the Braille. So the major problem with Braille input right now is when you do the Nemeth input, you got to translate that on the fly to the correct things, like
right.
to MathML, for example, right? And sometimes there are some edge cases there where you're trying to back translating gets a little tricky.
Right, yep.
But yeah, there's nothing preventing us from doing that.
Okay. So obviously you've talked a lot about beta testing and getting feedback. So
yeah,
how are people get involved in that?
Let
process?
Me get out some stuff, some email addresses and such,
sure.
and kind of go from there. It's one of those things where it's still early in the process, but you know, you and I met up at CSUN, so I wanted to give you a taste of this. This is alpha. This isn't even beta.
Right.
But when we go to beta, when we publicly beta this, I want people to, especially the math geeks out there, or folks that are just even somewhat interested in reading math, to really contribute and make this thing better. So my personal email address is Sina, S-I-N-A, at pac.bz, P-A-C.bz, really nice short domain name. And so Sina at pac.bz is a great way to get a hold of me, just express some interest. I might reply, I might just forward you along to our list, whatever, you know, that's the best way to kind of express some interest in this project. You can hit me up on Twitter, I'm at Sina Baram, at S-I-N-A-B-A-H-R-A-M, and on there, we can talk about this, keep the conversation going with others. And then as folks are starting to use the beta, I'm hoping to use Twitter as sort of an outreach mechanism to say, okay, like, you know, so-and-so is having this problem. Can I get somebody else to replicate it? And, you know, we can keep it public so that we can really hopefully help this thing kind of get better, even for people that might not be in the same room or in the same area. They can all contribute, you know, and keep that going. Right.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much. Always enjoy the latest cool stuff that you're showing us here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Blind Bargains is your home for the latest assistive technology news and reviews. Visit us at blindbargains.com or follow Blind Bargains on Twitter for the inside scoop.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys. Copyright 2014.